You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Ray and Wally, no Will, we're in the building. What's up, Wally?
Everything's great, man. Well, not too great. The Redskins took that L, 21-9 to the Colts, a game they should have won. I think the team was a little bit overconfident.
As we'll get to contributed to the Urban Sports Scene, DJ Swearinger had two turnovers. He said he wanted 10 picks this season.
Yeah, he's getting close.
He's got eight more to go.
I saw your tweets. I started laughing. I was like, yo, I wanted to post the video with it too.
You should have.
I should have, man.
That's been great. Maybe I should have. But you know what? When you're trying to watch football, I got time to post videos.
I know. I'm
trying to watch the game.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Focus.
You in the press box. We couldn't go that far.
I know exactly. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T ain't here, so he usually says, "Let's get into our tradition." The pregame. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Colts 21-9. After that, we'll talk about the Redskins' upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers. And finally, we'll feature our listener segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. But first, at FedEx Field, the Redskins took an L to the Colts 21-9. What were your thoughts on the game?
My initial thoughts were the Colts' defense was just flying around. Mm-hmm. They looked athletic. They looked fast. They closed quickly because if you watch Adrian Peterson had some big holes to run through, and they seemed to close so fast. And it was like, wow, is this some type of new Colts defense that Chuck Pagano didn't have last season? Because I didn't see this. Even last week against Cincinnati, I didn't see this defense play to this level. Mm-hmm. And then the Washington DBs, I felt like, were the letdown of the defense. The defense overall played well enough for the team to win. Mm-hmm. The linebacking core played well, in my opinion. Yeah. I know you're not the biggest fan of the linebacking core. Zach Brown always plays well, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And even Mason Foster, I think, in terms of run defense, played good. The DBs were not covering very well. I mean, you tweeted right away, T.Y. Hilton is giving Josh Norman work. And I think that set the tone early in the game.
I think that when you were talking about the DBs, I thought T.Y. Hilton was giving Norman the business. And again, I mean, T.Y. Hilton is a talented, you know, corner, a talented wide receiver. But when you pay a guy like Josh Norman money, the money that he is, that he receives, one, you want to see him follow the best wide receiver. He didn't do that often at times in that game. But when he did match up against T.Y. Hilton, man up. I think T.Y., in my opinion, T.Y. Hilton got the best of him. But I also had issues with, you know, Jay Gruden a little bit. They didn't feature Adrian Peterson enough to me. 11 carries isn't a good number for Adrian Peterson. We've seen Adrian Peterson in the past. He's always been a running back that got better as the game went on. So not giving him touches early to me wasn't a good thing. And I don't want to hear that, oh, he wasn't effective early. Look at what the Rams did with Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley had 19 carries for 42 yards, but the Rams still continue to feed the beast. So I want to hear that because Adrian Peterson wasn't effective early in the run game, that you just had to stop giving him the ball. 11 carries just isn't cool to me, especially if you're trying to build a ball control style of offense, which we saw them do against the Arizona Cardinals.
I felt as though the team stuck with the run. I don't know if, you know, you paid attention to years past. Mm-hmm. They would abandon the run if it just didn't seem effective.
11 carries ain't sticking with the run.
Just for Adrian Peterson alone.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Thompson didn't get that many. Like, they didn't stick with the run. You're getting 11 carries.
I will have to look back mm-hmm. at time of possession and things of that nature to see how long they had the ball. Most people, or the consensus is that the offense lost the game. DJ Swearinger gives you two big turnovers. You can't cash in.
Agree.
But right now, it looks like this team is lacking a number one receiver after two games in. And that's a challenge going forward. You bring in two guys this week, which I think we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about.
But do you still need a number one receiver? Right now, you don't have that guy.
I mean, they want to feature
Jordan Reed.
And you want to feature Jordan Reed. That's one of the best tight ends in football. You know, the whole notion that you need a number one wide receiver to, you know, to win a championship. We've seen the Patriots do, I mean, basically not need them.
They're always the exception to the rule.
Yeah, there are other teams that don't have. Look, as good as Odell Beckham is, how many times has he been to the Super Bowl or even been into the playoffs to a point where you looked at the Giants as a true contender? Or even, I mean, in terms, like, because you get this number all the time, like, okay, what number one wide receiver has been to the Super Bowl on his own merit alone?
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to disagree. I mean? I'm not going to disagree with you, bro. But here's the thing. You just hit on an important point. If you're struggling to run the football, you need your receiving quarterback.
No, I totally agree. I'm just saying, but again, then that's on Jay Gruden. And I like Jay Gruden. I don't want anybody to think that I don't like Jay Gruden. I like Jay Gruden. But at the same time, you have to see what has worked for your team. In Arizona, you were stubborn to run the football. You ran Chris Thompson. You ran Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson against the Arizona Cardinals had about 27 carries. 11 carries. And then on a third and one play, you give the ball to Chris Thompson on a stretch play when you have a power back in Adrian Peterson. I think in this game, Jay Gruden and his staff, they got too cute in this game rather than playing effective football, trying to do whatever it takes to, you know, to move the chains and actually dominate this game. They wanted to play cute football.
Maybe preparation wasn't the best. The team just came out flat, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But still, defense made two crucial plays that could have changed the landscape of the game. I don't know necessarily if you can blame, you know, some of the lack of execution on Jay Gruden, but you're just saying play calling was questionable. Mm-hmm. And I can't necessarily disagree. A lot of things went wrong. Expectations were somewhat high after a good showing in Arizona. But Arizona, look at what they achieved this past week.
Yeah,
they didn't score a touchdown. This is the second week in a row.
And the Rams is mean, though. But you're right.
The Rams are good, but even the Raiders, with their struggles and being in kind of a transition phase, the Raiders played them pretty well through the first half. They were leading them at halftime. So
that was in L.A. That was in Oakland, though, right?
Don't matter.
It does matter sometimes. Some teams play better on the road than at home, bro.
Arizona played horrible against the Redskins at home. That's what I'm saying. Arizona might not be the team we thought they were coming into the season.
That's true.
So maybe that wasn't a good measuring stick. Maybe this game was. Maybe this is a good thing in the sense that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. And if you had a difficulty stopping Andrew Luck, that's just coming off, felt like 2 years layoff, not that long, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Then you have to alter your game plan big time. You have to prepare better this week for Aaron Rodgers.
And you saw, again, which gave this secondary fits and issues was like the rub plays. They ran pick plays, and they just didn't adjust. And I think that's the issue that a lot of fans, pundits, when they watch. When they watch the games against the Washington Redskins, you see that this team can't adjust. If you're a Redskin fan, you watch somebody like a Joe Gibbs, right? And Joe Gibbs has always been let's go Joe Gibbs, you know, early Joe Gibbs, 1.0, whatever. Joe Gibbs made great halftime adjustments. You see what Coach Gruden at times when you watch. You know, in the second half, after kind of getting beat in the first half, you're like, dude, you haven't changed anything up. You haven't made any adjustments. I get that certain offensive coordinators, head coaches are stubborn and they want to stick with their game plan and not want to change it up. Once something looks like it's not working, they just want to stay the course. But at times, you got to change up, bro.
Is Jay Gruden a problem? That's the question. Mm-hmm. On offense, the offense has put up big numbers since he's been the head coach. Mm-hmm. Now you have McVay out in L.A., and his team has put up big numbers because he has the talent.
Yeah.
Is that the difference? I don't know. It will be determined, I think, this season.
Yeah.
Last season, team still did pretty well, but offense struggled in the red zone, which was the same case under McVay, so we didn't know if there was a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Now, some are looking at the comparison, like maybe Jay Gruden is the issue. Maybe he needs to be a coordinator. As far as defense goes, who does that lie on? Is that on Gruden or is that on your D coordinator? Is that on the players? Because these guys have to go out and execute. You're paying Josh Norman, as you mentioned. Quinn Dunbar, you had confidence in training camp that he was the guy.
He didn't play. He didn't look bad.
He played okay.
Yeah, he played bad.
And I think they tackled halfway decent.
I had more of an issue against the run. Again, and also the pass rush, and we can talk about that too. At the same, the Colts were missing their starting left tackle, and they got no pressure. The Redskins got no pressure.
But that was a huge issue, and you cannot have that problem coming up this week.
Exactly. You got a gimpy A-Rod who's going to be a statue in the pocket. Well, it's supposed to be a statue in the pocket, but that doesn't matter. His arm strength is awesome. He's accurate. So they need to get to A-Rod. They can't give him any time in the pocket. So do you think the Skins came into the game overconfident?
I would say yes, because you're playing a team at home, your home opener, a team, the Colts, that didn't have much success last season. They lost the heartbreakers, like kick a man, water down. Mm-hmm. You also you have a quarterback who is still trying to shake off some rust. Mm-hmm. You have to seize that opportunity to start 2-0. Mm-hmm. Win the games you're supposed to win. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think you definitely have to win. Look, at the end of the day, this team doesn't handle prosperity well. We've seen it in the past. And I think a guy – I want to say the whole team, because I feel like you mentioned this guy, DJ Swearinger. I feel like DJ Swearinger, oh, he's a stand-up guy. He's a guy that respects his opponent and feels like that his team could lose any given Sunday. So he practiced hard and he plays hard. And you've seen him say it in the past, like, hey, I don't think we practicing hard enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's a guy that I feel like he always takes his opponent serious. And I wish that some of his teammates would have the same mindset that he has. Because that's why you see this guy get 2 interceptions in the game. You know what I mean? Because he's paying attention. He's been watching film. He's taking his opponent serious.
That's interesting, because I can't point out anyone else that I don't feel was giving maximum effort. Kerrigan always brings it.
Yeah, he does. But it's like
Josh Norman usually is somebody who brings it. I think he's starting to run out of gas, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Maybe his best days are behind him. And I'm hoping that criticism such as this, which is mild in comparison to some of the things I've read, will motivate him, because he's one that he develops an edge if you talk negative to him or about him.
He does.
You saw that Raiders game last year when he was trash talked, how he responded.
To Amari Cooper and Crabtree, right?
Even though they said that he sort of overstated mm-hmm. what was said. But still, regardless, he's got to be one of your leaders. And outside of DJ Swearinger, who told us personally, I'm trying to bite my tongue a little bit. Guys didn't take well to my leadership style.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the leader of this team and this defense in particular?
Well, I think it's DJ Swearinger, but who's going to it's up to his teammates to copy what he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that, to me, you see it, that he respects his opponent. And his other guys, after the Arizona game, they just felt like, hey, we top flight, we this, we that. Like, you can say all that, but you still got to truthfully respect your opponent. You have to feel that you can lose to anybody. And I heard Doc Walker, a guy, you know, a radio personality, he stated this, and I totally agree. When you see the Redskins on your schedule, you look at them like a W. The Colts look at the Redskins like, okay, we can beat the Redskins. That's a W.
That's what I said. The way the Colts came out looking just, I mean, absolutely mm-hmm. amazing on defense.
Yeah.
And
they didn't look that good against Cincinnati.
No.
They didn't. Yeah.
And Andrew Luck having all day to throw,
mm-hmm.
the receivers wide open, and then the running game on first and second down, you're giving up too many yards. To be honest, Washington, they had some third and shorts. They didn't get neither team had the best percentage on third down. Mm-hmm. But if you had to pick the more effective team, obviously
it was the Colts, definitely. So Josh Dobson had 4 catches for 37 yards in this game. Earlier in the game, he had a key drop. Do you think it's time to end the whole Josh Dobson experience?
Now, experiment. See, I was extremely frustrated with him, especially that ball in the end zone that I felt like he should have.
See, you thought he should have called that? I don't think so. He got up there, and a dude, I mean, he wouldn't even have it. Like, if you look at it in slow motion, and we talked about it in the press box, like, he wouldn't even got his feet in bounds. Everyone acts like he wouldn't even have his feet in bounds.
Well, I guess he could have made an adjustment, okay. Because that was one play and it was another play. It wasn't
You're talking about the pass. They know he had a play.
Yeah, somebody on that. Somebody didn't come back for it. Was it him?
No, that was Chesson.
Oh, okay.
That was Chesson. The play that I had an issue with is the deep corner route. With Alex Mahid with a deep corner route, and he just dropped it. Josh Dobson dropped it.
Oh, yeah. It was two or three crucial drops. But I felt as though, a legit number one receiver with his athletic ability should have been able to make an adjustment
and go get the football.
That's my problem. And I just don't see it from him. I don't see I'm a passion guy. I don't get that feeling that he wants it.
He wants to be really good.
Seeing him close up
mm-hmm.
and also seeing – you know, these first two games this season, I just, right now, I'm struggling to find that fire in him. And the reason why I also point out is, too, because there were rumblings as we found out at training camp, that the injury he sustained wasn't that significant, but he almost wanted to come out of practice. It's like, come on, man, you got to be out to prove something.
See, I still believe in Josh Dotson because I respect the talent. I do think he's an ultra talented kid. But again, I mentioned that deep corner route pass in the second quarter. Like, that's a play you need to make if you want to be number one. So I agree with you. Like, you have to make that play. You know what I mean? If we talking about being a number one wide receiver, then you got to make that play. Because if you don't make that play, then you're basically to me a number two slot, fourth wide receiver. You know what I mean? You're not a guy that you could be that a quarterback can rely on. You got to make that pass. It's over with the whole dropping easy passes. Like, that should be done. That should be done with. All right. It's time to make more spectacular catches and being a guarantee making the easy catch.
In his defense, he missed a lot of time. Mm-hmm. He's still young. Mm-hmm. So you may have to allow him to develop over the course of time. Yeah. Just bottom line.
No, I mean, yeah. Sometime,
and right now, the fan base isn't patient. The fan base isn't showing up, as we were going to discuss.
Yeah. I ain't patient enough, to be honest with you. So the Skins have signed, real quick, the Skins have signed Michael Floyd. He used to play for the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And former Baltimore Raven wide receiver Rashad Perriman. Do you think this is a better play over signing a Dez Bryant?
No, I would take Dez, and I would run the risk of Dez coming into the locker room and not fracturing it, but motivating it.
Okay.
I would love for him and Norman to be on the same team and they motivate each other. I would love for him to rub somebody the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could light a fire under Josh Dotson. Why are you bringing these two guys? I really like Michael Floyd.
I'm not going to lie to you. Perriman, I don't even care for it. But I've always liked Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd is...
You can like him all you want, but
he's got talent.
Is he the answer?
Well, Michael Floyd, the only thing that ruined Michael Floyd, to be real with you, is the alcohol, to be real with you. Like, you wouldn't think that Michael Floyd had a 1,000-yard season. Yeah, he had a 1,000-yard season in Arizona in 2013. He had two 800-plus yard. I mean, plus game. I mean, yard.
His numbers
seasons.
Don't compare to Dez's.
No. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's young. He's 28. He's cheaper. I mean, he's a guy with potential. He's not a bum. Like Perriman's is a bum. Like, let's keep it 100. Like, he's a bum. He is. He's a bum. But Floyd, Michael Floyd has always been a talented wide receiver. He played alongside Larry Fitzgerald. So think about it, to play alongside Larry Fitzgerald and still put up over 1,000 yards. You're a talented dude because Larry Fitzgerald was getting most of the target.
The question was, though, does that make more sense
than
Dez?
No, I would take Dez.
Of course. Thank you. No matter what you say, Dez, again, we could look at his numbers. I'm not even going to compare the numbers.
Yeah.
Also, Dez wants... He wants to be in the NFC East.
No, he does.
And this is why he tweeted, Washington looks good too.
Yeah, but you don't know what the money that Dez is asking for. Maybe they don't feel like paying for a Dez Bryant. And I'll say this on the flip side too. Maybe they don't want the look of having the old school Redskins type of moniker. Let's just pay aging superstar players and bring him in DC. And if it doesn't work out, you know, it's always going to be like, oh, here goes the Redskins again. Here they go, trying to get an all-star lineup.
Listen here.
The Bruce Smiths of the world.
Dez will put butts in the seats.
Exactly, but would that give you W's? That's the point. Will that get you W's? Would that get you quality play?
It's much better than what you have now. It is. And I don't think there's anybody who would go there as far as, oh, this is typical or old Dan Snyder coming out, because it's a need. You're not just trying to go throw a bunch of money at the best player in free agency. It is a serious, serious need. Versus in the past, like when you signed Albert Haynesworth, the team had a bunch of needs, and they just put all their money into this one guy.
So real quick, speaking of, you know, the attendance, we mentioned that a little bit. No one was really at the game. Like, the Reds, like FedEx was not jam-packed. We're talking about the first the season opener in terms of a home game. And no one was in attendance. What do you think has caused that, man? What do you think? What's the reason for that?
People are not going to continue to pay for a team that's not producing. It's been too long. And then the Capitals winning, I think, really hurt. Mm-hmm. You got to now you have a winner. Mm-hmm. You can relax. This is and was a football town. Mm-hmm. And the hope was that the Washington football team would be the ones to be able to break through and get that championship drought ended. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, the Capitals did that. Sports fans are much happier in town. And the Nationals, while they're not having, obviously, the season they intended, they're still another option. Mm-hmm. So people are going to monitor, okay, am I going to put my money here still? I know multiple, and you probably do too, season ticket holders that said, nah, I just can't do this no more. For years, they were hanging on to it. That waiting list was so off the chain, and many who wanted season tickets thought they would never be able to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, Dan Snyder has made upgrades to improve the fan experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have people just hanging out, watching Red Zone Channel, not even trying to pay close attention to every detail of the team that's right in front of them. Winning cures all. That's how you look at it. And they're going to have to win because this is one of the most passionate fan bases in the league. How do we know that? Most recent evidence, when Daryl Green and Art Monk were inducted into the Hall of Fame, you saw the amount of fans that traveled to Canton and showed that support, which says this fan base is right up there with the Cheeseheads and the Steel Curtain.
Well, the fan base will be tested. A-Rod is next. And you know the Packers, they travel. The Packers fans travel. So travel big time.
It'll be looking like Lambeau.
It should look like. I think so, too. Kind of do. Do you think the Skins have a chance to win that game? We'll discuss that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces. Listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Wally and Ray, we're your hosts. We'll tease out. The Redskins have the undefeated Packers, you know, coming to town. They're 1-0-1. They have a tie against the Vikings. I'm talking about the Redskins. What do they need to do to improve on their chances in this game compared to what they, you know, some of the issues they had last week?
I'm gonna throw this question back to you. Right. Pretty much, it's a statement and a question at the same time.
All right.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It starts with Jay Gruden. Can he outcoach Mike McCarthy?
He did. He did that 2 years ago. I want to say in that big primetime game where Kirk Cousins had a phenomenal game. He can do it. I don't think the Packers defenses is strong. As some of the other defense is not as strong.
But again, he is the Colts.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point. But it goes to the point. It goes to the whole thought process of, can this team, does this team respect the Packers enough? And I think that, you know, they'll be the underdog. And for some strange reason, I just feel like the Redskins play better when no one gives them any credit, when they have to go into a situation where, you know, the opposition is the team that seems like the more dominant ones, and the Redskins shouldn't even be on the same field with them. And then everybody plays to their level and plays to the capability that they need to play all 16. For some strange reason, they just don't do it that way.
That's funny. Just a side note, my son and I, we watched Alabama over the weekend. Yeah. Alabama was obviously dominant.
Yeah. Very dominant. They're always dominant.
Sunday, we watching the Redskins, and my son basically said, he's only 5. Yeah. The Redskins need some players from Alabama. Alabama can beat the Redskins.
They have players from Alabama. They're trying to make their team Alabama.
It's so hilarious how, even though obviously he's young, he made an observation that this is what you need to look like to win. You know that song is still playing, right?
It's okay. It's still playing. It's in the background.
Right? Yeah, it's all right.
You can barely hear it.
But getting back to the keys to victory against this Green Bay. And I want not recent years, but in maybe distant memory.
Mm-hmm. They haven't. They've always had a high pressure defense, but never a dominant.
Another
defense.
Weakness, in my opinion, of the team is their running game. They don't have the greatest running game.
No, they don't. But the Colts didn't have a great running back game, and they ran well against the Redskins.
See, I mean, we just going to keep firing off Colts stuff, then the Redskins don't have a chance. I'm serious. I remember we had a discussion about the Redskins starting backfield, and you and Will, like, would you feel comfortable if Fat Rob and Samaje Perine was your two-star running back? Yeah, and I'm like, nah, of course not. But who are the Packers running backs?
Yeah. The Montgomery.
You feel comfortable with that
no, I wouldn't.
Tandem?
I wouldn't.
That shows that, again, there's a weakness on this team. They obviously make up for it in Aaron Rodgers.
Of course. He's amazing.
He's one of the top, if not top two, top three quarterbacks in the league. I don't know who you can put in front of him outside of maybe Brady.
He's only been to one Super Bowl. A-Rod.
I mean, does that matter though? Because you can't put Russell Wilson in front of Russell Wilson.
No, I think A-Rod's like, I'm real talk. I think A-Rod's like the probably one of, I mean, he's definitely one of the best. I'm not taking that away from him. He's an accurate passer. You can just, with the eye test, you know how good A-Rod is.
But yeah, anyway, top one, two quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where obviously the gap is bridged. And I don't know. I'm wondering if Washington is going to try to largely game plan to make him, I guess, as much as a non-factor as possible, mm-hmm. which is basically saying we need to contain him.
Yeah. The question again is, what do you need to improve? What do the Redskins need to improve on have a chance in this game against the Packers? Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Also respond to us on our Facebook page. On Twitter, Chris Brown said, it all starts with both lines. O-line needs to allow more holes in the run game and not allow pressure off the edge and up the gut like Sunday. And D-line has to pressure A-Rod themselves so we can keep coverage on the back end. If they don't, A-Rod will eat us alive. I agree.
It comes down to coaching, too. Mm-hmm. You got to dial up the right blitz packages, and you have to be creative because A-Rod Reed's defense is really good.
Easily. And like to me, I just feel like, one, you're talking about coaching. Gruden has to feed AP, so we can keep A-Rod off the field. It's got to be a ball control type of strategy.
I agree, but I liked Alex Smith. He took chances in this game.
Yeah, I'm not knocking
Alex Smith. He was attempting to go downfield, and his passes were accurate. Yeah. He doesn't have much help right now.
Yeah. They didn't help him out against the Colts. They didn't.
You're gonna have to come fired up for this.
A-Rod versus Alex Smith. Do you
talking about the 49ers, though?
49ers, yeah, and the Chiefs. I'm saying, but you're right, 49ers.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, and he beat him in the postseason.
That's why the fans aren't in the stadium, because this team is different.
I'm just saying that he has a winning record against A-Rod, which is a good thing. If you're a Redskins fan looking for hope, you know that this guy won. We talked about his track record in season openers. He played well in the season opener. Then he's playing A-Rod, and he has a winning track record.
Look,
that doesn't matter, right? We're talking about the Redskins that look bad in season openers against lesser competition. The Miami Dolphins came to FedEx in the season opener and beat them. So I'm just saying, like, if you look at Alex Smith, his track record, he's had a winning record against A-Rod. So for Redskins fans, that is hope for you. I'm giving you hope. Ray's trying to take it away from you. I'm trying to give you hope.
Who has a better receiver core, Green Bay or Washington?
A-Rod makes that receiving core. I don't really think of their receiving core as anything potent. I think you give A-Rod the Redskins receiving core, they're putting up stats too. Because it's A-Rod. They had a kid named Janice put up stats with A-Rod.
Here's the thing that's scary. And I know we talked about the difference between road and home. Minnesota Vikings, one of the better defenses in the league right now.
Couldn't do nothing with them.
Couldn't stop.
A hobbled A-Rod, right. Y'all. A hobbled A-Rod.
And see, here is another key point. Is you got to wrap up. Mm-hmm. If you have your hands on Aaron Rodgers, you have to get him down.
You got to.
Because I watched last season in the season opener, mm-hmm. Carson Wentz just shaking out of tackles, mm-hmm. extending plays, and Aaron Rodgers, he's hobbled, so he doesn't want to run. You know that.
Yeah.
But if he gets outside the pocket, you're in trouble, especially with a team right now that can't seem to cover one-on-one.
I wouldn't say all that. They can't cover one-on-one. They ran zone. It was more zone than anything, right?
Okay. There were some serious breakdowns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was more than one-on-one. It was more zone.
Do you pay attention to Quinn Dunbar and Josh when they're one-on-one?
Yeah, I do. I was watching it all day. We talked about it in press. Yeah.
And they covered well?
Dunbar covered well one-on-one. Now, when you asked me for Norman, I told you the truth. Norman did not. Dunbar covered well in one-on-one. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break.
I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared
to you. You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Ray and Wally are your hosts, as I'm Wally. Will T's out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Search All Skins Everything. Make sure you rate us. Also, do the same for us on Google Play. We are on Google Play, so make sure you do the same. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us. The number is 301-799-5407. Just leave a voice message. We only take voice messages. You can also tweet us at the Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We will feature your comments on the show. Here we go. We have a message from Cornbread.
Hey, what's going on, folks? This is your favorite cousin, Cousin Cornbread, on Instagram. You hear me? What's up, Wally and everybody else on the cast? Hey, look, man, real quick with this Redskins rant. Lifelong Redskins fan, 10-year season ticket holder, gave up my tickets last year because I was tired of their foolishness, right? So look here. Jay Gruden, as we saw last week, is the worst coach at making adjustments during the game, especially on offense. I don't know where he's involved in on defense, but on offense, we make no adjustments during the game based on the opposing team's game plan. That's why we look lackluster. That's why we look unprepared, because the other team came in there and had a plan to stop us from going over the top, stop us from getting any big balls down the field. And we took the stuff underneath, but we didn't change it up to make it effective underneath stuff. It seemed like the only offensive weapon we had is Chris Thompson. Right? He had something like 13 catches. I'm sure he was targeted more than that. And everybody else just seemed like they were out there for the check. Right? So now they ran out here to sign additional players, to sign additional receivers, when that's not really the problem. The problem is, there's no adjustments being made by Jay Gruden, in my opinion. And also, the defense played well, got two turnovers, and we did nothing with it. And that's been a year-to-year thing. Red zone efficiency is still terrible. He's still throwing fades. Your boy is in love with fades for some reason. He's still throwing that foolishness. Everybody knows where he's going to do it. Everybody in the stands knows, so it clearly the other coaches know. All right? Last thing, the attendance sucked. It was terrible. That joint was about 60%, 65% field, and a third of that was Colts fans. All right? Log out.
Yes, my homie Cornbread, man. Cool dude. Yeah, I'm with you, Cornbread. I think Jay Gruden definitely needs to make adjustments. We've seen Joe Gibbs in the past, and Joe Gibbs 1.0, how he was able to make halftime adjustments. And when you watch Jay Gruden, you just don't get that feel or that vibe. So you want Jay Gruden to have that type of, you know, that type of coaching style where he can, you know, adjust and not be as stubborn with his game plan. I think that's the big issue I have. I think sometimes Jay Gruden is a little too stubborn. We saw with the running game, you got to run Aaron Rodgers. When you have Aaron Rodgers, you got to run Adrian Peterson to keep a guy like Andrew Luck, and now next week Aaron Rodgers off the field. You got to have ball control. You got to have that type of mentality. And that was something that Joe Gibbs had, and you were hoping that, you know, Jay Gruden was getting that, because in the game against Arizona, ball control was the thing, and the Redskins did a great job with it. So hopefully in the upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers, they run Adrian Peterson more than 11 times, and hopefully Adrian Peterson gets more than 20 carries rather than 11. Because again, you saw, and I'm gonna use the example again. When you look at the LA Rams, Todd Gurley didn't have an impressive average yards per carry, but he had 19 carries and 42 yards. They were stubborn with running Todd Gurley. So hopefully, again, the Redskins can do the same thing with Adrian Peterson. And again, call in, folks. This line is for you. This is for the fans to voice and rant about, you know, rant about what's going on in Skins Land. So please call in. Again, the number is 301-799-5407. You've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. For Aegis, you dig, deuces, a mega. Lead us out, big homie.